This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and happy Friday to you. Jim Inman here in the studio at WGCL 1 City Center, right downtown Bloomington. Happy Friday, June 12th, or Saturday, June 13th, depending on when you're catching up with us. If you're starting your weekend off here on Friday night, glad you're joining us for the big show. Or if you're catching the replay Saturday morning, glad you're waking up with us as well. Get the cup of coffee, fill up, kick back, and relax. It's going to be a wet weekend, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But you got me for the full hour. Mr. David Piller is out of town with his wife and some family, I believe, headed over to I don't know where. So he is out of town for a couple days, but you got me for a little bit. And then later on in the show, excited to have a couple first-time guests to the program, Ron Stanhouse and Talisha Kopic. They were actually in earlier this week. We had to pre-record because of some scheduling conflicts, but we're going to talk about Taste of Bloomington coming up on June 20th downtown. And they are part of the organization team that puts Taste of Bloomington together. So we're going to get the inside scoop from them about the vendors, the music, times. There's some special offerings as well about getting advanced tickets at a discounted price. So we'll tell you about that as well. So full plate, pun intended, on the Bloomington Review this week. The Taste of Bloomington is actually sponsoring the show right now as well, and we're very excited because they're going to have 40-plus eateries at Taste of Bloomington. And I'm giving a little bit of the secret away, but not only are we going to have restaurants, but food trucks. Last week when Julie Warren was on the show and talking about Food Truck Friday, now you can experience some of the food trucks that participate in that as well that are going to be at Taste of Bloomington. But 40 different eateries, wineries, breweries, Taste of Bloomington, Saturday, June 20th, 3 p.m., showers common, downtown just off of 7th Street, and musical entertainment. Here Come the Mummies, Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. We've got lots more. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but you can learn all about that at tasteofbloomington.com. And of course, we'll put all of those links up on facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. So you can learn all about those kinds of fun and exciting things as well. Have you had a good week? It's starting to get a little bit toasty outside. Starting to get a little bit hot, a little bit steamy. Remember a week ago Monday when we had the cold snap come through and people were actually turning on their furnaces? Yeah, you don't need that anymore. If you might want to double-check your central air system. If the furnace is still on, you are spinning your wheels, my friends. Make sure that you've got the AC turned on. My three Labrador Retrievers have been enjoying the outside a couple days a week, and they come home, and they are just whipped. You thought you were going to hear dog tired, but I didn't use that pun. I did not. So with this time of year and talking about pets, make sure that you've got plenty of water if they are outside animals. Once it gets about 90 degrees, it starts to get a little bit miserable for some of those pets as well. So make sure they've got a shady place, a cool doghouse or something, barn, whatever, if they're outdoor cats, just someplace where they can go and cool off if necessary. Lots of things in the local news over the last few days. Of course, down on Kirkwood, Steve Volan had the discussion about panhandling and homelessness and resolving that. So we'll talk about that in the news in just a little bit as well. Monroe County is getting its first covered bridge in decades. We'll touch on that. And also, there's going to be a little bit of editorializing. I can tell you all that already. I am so tired of hearing about the Beech Grove Walmart battle. I'm sure you've seen this. If you get online to read your news, social media has been hitting this as well. These two women in Beech Grove, Indiana, who decide to take it to the floor and punch, kick, hit, fight, brought a little kid involved. It's just tacky and tasteless. We'll talk a little bit about where the situation stands there. I'm just amazed at the number of people who can stand around and watch and videotape it. Not only is it discouraging to see human beings act that way in such a public setting, but the fact that average Joe citizen doesn't think to get the child away for protection, doesn't think to stop or intercede, yell, call the police, whatever. Instead, they whip out their cell phone and start videotaping it because it's humorous. No, it's not humorous. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. And those women I told you I was going to editorialize. I'm sorry. We'll get much better here. Later on in sports, we'll have plenty of Reds coverage. They've got a wide assortment of games coming up over the next 7-10 days. Also, our good man, Peyton Manning. Omaha. He does it in all the football games. What does it mean? We might actually have the answer to it. We'll talk a little bit about men's basketball. They've hired a new strength coach. IU baseball, the MLB draft, Major League Baseball draft, NBA Finals, a little bit of update there as well. So plenty to talk about. I'm not going to leave you hanging through the whole hour. I promise. We've got good stuff, so stay with me throughout. Of course, WGCLradio.com. You can check us out there. We're streaming over there 24/7. And if you catch us on Saturday, anytime after 11 or 12, you can go to WGCLradio.com and dial into the podcast of not just this show, but Your Money with David Hayes, In the Zone, Joe Smith Reports, all of those things, plus Glasses interviews on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. We are going to take a break, come back with local news, get you your forecast as well, and then again later on, Talisha Kopic and Ron Stanhouse from Taste of Bloomington are going to be in the studio talking about the 30-plus annual event and 40-plus food vendors. Get the napkin, wipe the drool, I promise it'll be good. Stay with me, it's Jim Inman, and it's the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you. So glad you're tuning in to WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Of course, you can always find WGCL Radio on Twitter at WGCL Radio and Facebook, of course, Facebook.com/WGCLRadio. Fairly simple. Anybody can master that. Anybody. Forecast for the weekend is going to be another wet one. And you know why it's doing this? It's because on Memorial Day weekend, I took the time to stain my deck. And I put one coat of stain on, but I need a second coat. And every weekend, I'm getting rain, and I can't apply the second coat. So, come on. Just give me one day. That's all I'm asking for. Friday night, tonight, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 71. On Saturday, 40% chance of rain and thunderstorms, again, mostly cloudy, high near 84. Muggy, that's the word. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Again, low around 70. Sunday, 50% chance of rain and thunderstorms. High near 88. Muggier. And early next week from the extended forecast, it looks like a 50% chance of rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So keep the umbrellas out. Keep the raincoats out. At least the kids don't have to stand in the rain and wait for the school bus. This is what it is for the next few days. All your weather, all the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. City Council member Steve Volan had a standing room crowd Wednesday night in downtown Bloomington talking about the conduct and the situation taking place on Kirkwood Avenue. According to the article in the Herald Times, Volan's quoted as saying, "We are not going to solve this problem. We cannot solve this problem alone as a city." From all walks of life, talking about the issues. And this all came because of a meeting last week with East Kirkwood Avenue business owners and others to talk about panhandling and crime issues on downtown. One of the panel members, Byron Bangert, who chairs the city's Human Rights Commission, said, "This is not a homelessness problem. This is a problem of behaviors." Representing some of the students of Indiana University, Sam Darks said that city officials and business owners need to realize and address the real issue, that the problem is get the problem at its roots, not put a Band-Aid over it. Greg Rago, who's the co-owner of Nick's English Hut, agreed as well that there needs to be a better way to address the issues that are now costing businesses money. And Rags, as he's known, says that there needs to be a greater police presence downtown to make things better. So I applaud Steve Volan for stepping up and getting this done. He's exactly right. It's not going to be resolved in one night, but it's nice to know that citizens of the community, business owners, and others stepped up, stepped in, talked, and are working for a solution here on that. Thursday morning on Glass in the Morning, Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer, both members of the Monroe County Community School Corporation School Board, talked about this, but elementary and school student, middle school students, plus teachers at MCCSC are going to get a bit of a break from testing during next school year. At a work session of the MCCSC school board, Superintendent Judy DeMuth announced that after a meeting with the principals, she determined acuity testing would not be administered in the 2015-2016 school year. DeMuth is quoted in the Herald Times as saying, "We're not going to self-impose a test that we don't feel is aligned with the standards of state education." MCCSC opted to take the acuity test in 2014-15 because it was offered free through the Indiana Department of Education as a diagnostic tool for schools to find out if student learning was in line with state standards. Now, while acuity is not legally required or used by the state to determine A through F letter grades, its purpose is to give schools a glimpse of what is to expect from the ISTEP. That's the annual exam students in grades 3 through 8 take, and it involves English and math. It does count in the formula used to calculate school grades, the ISTEP test. MCCSC students will take the ISTEP test in the next school year. DeMuth decided that because the state education department was in the process of developing the ISTEP test for the next school year, she wanted to be sure the exam students were given were aligned with state standards. I talked about this before the show. Actually, I'm going to skip that one for a minute. James Finney, many people recognize that name. He's been getting into more trouble while serving a 73-year prison term for killing a 22-year-old Bloomington pizza delivery driver back in 2011. Finney is a resident, an inmate at the Wabash Valley Correctional Facility over in Sullivan County, was charged on March 18th with battery with a deadly weapon, a week after an unprovoked attack against a fellow inmate with a weapon fashioned from a padlock attached to a strip of cloth. And Sullivan County Prosecutor John Springer has filed an habitual offender petition against Finney as well. He's citing his previous felony convictions for intimidation, carrying a handgun without a license, and murder. Now, if Finney's convicted of the latest battery offense and found to be habitual criminal, years will be added to his sentence. The victim of the prison beating is serving a 30-year sentence for attempted murder, kidnapping, robbery, and battery. He sustained multiple cuts to his head, requiring 37 staples to close. He told investigators he had been moved to Finney's housing unit just an hour before he was attacked. He had no idea who Finney was or why Finney came after him. A videotape of the incident shows the 26-year-old Finney hitting the man in the head repeatedly with a homemade weapon. The two men fought for about 2 minutes before prison staff could stop them. Hearing in the case scheduled for August 28th, but in the meantime, Finney's scheduled to appear in Monroe County Circuit Court July 20th via video conference for a pretrial hearing on pending cases in Monroe County. He's already been convicted of the murder of Adam Sarnecki back in 2011. Sarnecki worked at Pizza X on the south side of town, and police say that Finney shot a 60-year-old woman in the thigh as she walked her dog on the city street of Halloween 2011, and that he broke into the Smoke and Lotto store the same week and stole cartons and cigarettes. And finally, I mentioned this earlier in the program, but Beech Grove, Indiana has made national, if not international, news over the last week or so. Punches traded between two women in the shampoo aisle of the Beech Grove Walmart came as a shock to millions of people when videos of the violent exchange appeared on YouTube. According to USA Today, Beech Grove Mayor Dennis Buckley says that the incident was just the latest in a series of problems at a shopping center he feels has gone from a minor annoyance to a public nuisance. "This isn't anything new," he said in the USA Today article. "We've been concerned about this for the last 2 years, and there have been just some quiet talks with Walmart concerning the number of police runs down there and the fact that they're draining our resources every day." Walmart officials say they're just as upset as the mayor, and the two sides are slated to meet on June 17th to discuss the situation. The videos were uploaded on YouTube. They show the brawl between the two women. Started off as verbal jabs against one another. One was in a motorized cart. The other was with her young son. Became a fist fight, wrestling match. The boy joined into the disagreement as well, kicking and punching under the direction of his mother. The kid's like 4 years old. At one point, he even threw a shampoo bottle at the woman his mother was fighting. And then the little boy confronted a group of onlookers who questioned his actions. Beech Grove police are expecting to file charges in the next few days. In the meantime, the videos generated 3+ million views. Part two video, didn't realize there was a second, has been seen about almost 2 million times as well. Mayor Buckley said he hopes to end some of the trouble stemming from the store using a new ordinance recently passed by the city council related to public and environmental nuisances. Now, this is the part that is kind of interesting. Under the ordinance, Walmart could be deemed a public nuisance. Let's say that again. Under the ordinance, Walmart, the building, the everything at that location could be deemed a public nuisance, according to Mayor Buckley. The store would be notified by police, and officers would have the discretion to issue a ticket to the business anytime they are called to the store. How many times do you think that the police have been called to this store? Since February 2014, Beech Grove police have made 1,278 runs to the store, resulting in 473 arrests. It's a lot. February 14th, February 2015, it's now mid-June, so 16 months, 1,278 runs, 1,300, that's like two and three times a day. I mean, there's 365 days in a year. That's three to four times more. Come on, Beech Grove, step it up. Don't be filming this stuff. Let's knock some sense into some people. That's your editorial from yours truly. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a much lighter note. Taste of Bloomington is coming up June 20th, and we're going to have Ron Stanhouse and Talisha Kopic in the studio talking about how great Taste of Bloomington is this year and why you need to go. Stay with us. This is Jim Inman, and this is the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, and excited to have a couple first-time guests on the program this week. Talisha Kopic and Mr. Ron Stanhouse are in the studio talking about Taste of Bloomington. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very glad to have you. And it's 33 years of Taste of Bloomington, is that right?
It is. It started very small, where the Hilton Garden Inn is located now at 7th and College, and has expanded over the years. We have over 40 restaurants that are going to be participating, 15 bands, so 12,000 people last year. So it's grown steadily. And
12,000 people. Ron, are you able to keep track of, is it mostly people from Bloomington or Monroe County that come, or is this a tourist thing as well for people that come out of town?
It's intentionally designed to create tourism, mm-hmm. as well as local traffic. We can monitor some zip codes through a few of the booths, a few of the vendors that are out there, and we see a big variety of zip codes.
And something we'll talk about a little bit is that this year you're offering advanced ticket sales, so that may help a little bit in tracking where some of the people come from if they purchase their tickets early as well.
Yeah, we're very hopeful to get a better sense as well. You're right.
Okay. 40 different restaurants, Talisha? Is that what you said?
Yes. And new this year are food trucks as well, so that's kind of fun.
So last week when Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington was on and talking about Food Truck Friday, so now we're going to have Food Truck Saturday at Taste of Bloomington next
yes.
weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the process of a restaurant coming on board for Taste of Bloomington? Is it just fill out an application and say we're interested in doing it? Is that pretty much it?
We coordinate a lot with BIRA, the Bloomington Independent Restaurant Association, mm-hmm. and Steve is the director there. He helps a lot with our committee, but he is then a good communication conduit to the local independent restaurants. The local independents aren't quite as organized maybe as the big franchise, the chains that we know and we see on TV. Mm-hmm. And so it helps provide a better representation maybe of the various kinds of restaurants in Bloomington that participate and attend.
And the Taste of Bloomington starts at 3 o'clock on the 20th. And we talked early on, there's no race this year for the servers or anything like that. This year, so it's just starts off with the family friendly kind of thing. Bring your kids, come out and enjoy music, food, and all of that, right, Talisha?
Yes, and that's a really good point. The Kiwanis is sponsoring a children's area with Bloomington Parks and Recreation. So from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., we have children's activities ranging from face painting to bounce house and a wire walk and things the kids love. A maze is new with the inflatable. Mm-hmm. So it is a family-friendly event, and we've added the children's activities for that.
Certainly grown those attractions, the children's activities over the last 10 years.
Sure.
And it's pretty impressive, really.
It is. It really is. We're talking with Ron Stanhouse, Talisha Kopic from Taste of Bloomington, which is coming up next weekend in Bloomington. And Taste of Bloomington's been sponsoring a variety of the programming here on WGCL over the last couple of weeks. Talisha, if folks are wanting to get the advanced tickets that we mentioned, what's the process of doing that this year?
Well, Buskirk Chumley box office, so it's bctboxoffice.com. You can order your tickets online, and that way that saves having to stand in a line. You mm-hmm. can also save a dollar, so it's $7 in advance. And then the tickets will be at, we'll call at the North Gate of Taste of Bloomington at 10th and Morton Street.
Great. If you don't pick them up, right?
Right. If you don't pick them up at Buskirk Chumley earlier, you can get them at the gate.
So you can go get that and then just cut through the line and wave to all of your friends who are standing there are going to pay with the extra dollar and mm-hmm. that.
And it's a good way to support the Buskirk Chumley as well. Some of their operational revenue comes from advanced ticket sales, so that's another reason to support that.
And Ron, you mentioned beer a little bit ago. Where does the funds that are raised at Taste of Bloomington, what are those funds used for?
Well, we support four local charities, and so Downtown Bloomington, Inc., mm-hmm. which Talisha is the director of, and I'm on the board for, and then the Bira, and the Community Kitchen, and the, thank you.
Hoosier Hills Food Bank.
Food Bank, there we go.
Mm-hmm. And also Edgewood Band Boosters. They've helped us for years, and it's a big fundraiser for their organization. We donate about $3,000 to them.
Wonderful.
And then the Bloomington North Orchestra is going to be helping out this year as well. So as Taste has grown, our need for labor has grown. And so, you know, if there are not-for-profits out there that have a volunteer labor force, we'd certainly be interested in talking.
Okay.
You know, for
even 10
years.
Even 10 days out from the event, are you still looking for somebody, perhaps?
I think we might be good now, but for next year, I think.
Sure. Or at least they could shadow or come and experience
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
We do rely on a couple hundred volunteers, and that's the bulk of our help
mm-hmm.
with the attendance and beer tent. And there's a lot going on, obviously. There's a lot of need for help.
There really is. There really is. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the restaurants that are going to be there. We'll talk about the musicians that are going to be there, give you a little bit of a schedule of things, of what's going to be taking place, and, again, talk a little bit more about some new things coming up at Taste of Bloomington this year. It's tasteofbloomington.com for the details of getting your tickets and things. We'll put that up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview, and it'll also be at wgclradio.com. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman here in the studio. We're talking Taste of Bloomington, which happens next Saturday on the 20th, starting at 3 o'clock, down at Showers Common near City Hall is, I think, the official title of the building there. So let's do a little bit of a rundown for the day, Ron and Talisha. It's the Arts Fair on the Square, number one. And that starts about what time, Talisha? Do you recall?
The art fair starts at 10. So you could actually, I mean, depending on how energetic you are, get up at, you know, 8 and come to the farmer's market
mm-hmm.
and do that from 8 to noon. And then the art fair is from 10 to 6. And then and CFC is having an open house this year, which is new. So 5th and 6th Street will be closed in that block around the square. So there'll be a lot of activity there. The art fair goes till 6, and then Taste of Bloomington opens at 3 until 11.
So a full day downtown Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
Then they arrive at Taste of Bloomington. Talking about tickets, we mentioned you can get those at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. Get a dollar off if you buy in advance. Bring cash. Is that how we're doing payments this year, or you want to talk a little bit more about that, Ron?
Historically, it's been an all-cash event. And pay admissions, beer tickets at the restaurant booths, and this year we're experimenting. We're trying to grow and make the modern changes to debit and mm-hmm. credit cards available to get your admission and your beer tickets, and so hopefully that system works, but it is trial. It's our first year.
Okay. So people should be advised, bring some cash just to on the safe side, but hopefully the the debit card and credit card swipes will be in full effect.
And we do have ATM machines on site as well.
Good, good, good. Food, 40 vendors?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
How many new do we have this year?
15 new, which
great.
Is one of the best marketing parts of Taste of Bloomington. New restaurants really need to be at Taste of Bloomington, get their foot in the door of so many different, like, you know, people's face, mm-hmm. and they... It's important.
And it's every kind of food imaginable, basically, in Bloomington. I mean, the regular stuff, your pizza, your burgers, then you get into steaks, then you get into ethnic things and...
Vegetarian and barbecue and sweets, you know, ice cream, which is really popular. The snowballs, which mm-hmm. I think are going to be pretty interesting.
So I'm assuming that you both have taste tested some of these products?
Yes, we have.
We try hard to get out and talk to the restaurant people.
It's kind of fun because we do a pre-taste of the taste for the restaurants that are participating, so they can bring samples of what they're going to be serving so that they can, you know, taste each other's food, recommend
right.
other ones. But it's kind of a little pre-party for them.
Okay. So should I ask where you both would head first and see what you don't even have to name the restaurant. You can just say the type of food if you want to. I'm just curious where you would go first at Taste of Bloomington.
I'm pretty adventurous. So
are you?
I'll try anything.
Okay.
And so I just as soon try things I've never had, right?
Which
That's
is the point.
That's the point.
Yeah. Taste.
So, okay, tell me I haven't had it. You know, tell me what's good, right? I mean, I want to ask
right.
that restaurant server, that restaurant owner, what should I get? Mm-hmm. And I think they know what I should get. They'll tell me what's good.
They'll say, you should get that bacon and blue cheese guacamole.
Talisha, for somebody who's never been before, what's a ballpark price range for a sandwich or anything like that? Are we talking a couple bucks, $5, more or less?
Well,
I know it's all dependent based on the restaurant.
Right. All the restaurants do a little bit different. It ranges from $1 to $5, you know, depending on the quantity that you want to get and the type of item that it is. So there's a good variety of things that are $1 or $2. There's, you know, a few things that are a little bit higher.
Okay. Beer tent, crucial part of Taste of Bloomington. We've got beer and wine both this year, I'm assuming, as we have in the past.
Technically, we have two beer tents, right? And because we have a north end and a south end, so each side is well-served, convenient
okay.
location for beer. And we have beer and wine.
Great.
Then this year, particularly, the interesting addition of Function Brewing. So we've got a new craft brewery on site this year.
Wonderful. So we got the food covered. We've talked about how to get in the door. Then, of course, there's all the entertainment as well. The three stages this year, Talisha, correct?
Yes, three stages. The main one at 8th and Morton, the north stage, which is more like 10th and Morton, and then on the west side of Showers Building on 8th Street.
And I know we've talked a little bit about some of the bands. I know that Reverend Peyton's Big Damn
mm-hmm.
Band is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Hairbangers Ball mm-hmm. coming this year. Who else is going to be performing this year at Taste of Bloomington?
Well, 800-pound gorilla, the Velours, Raging Texans, then we have a couple of jazz bands and, you know, leading Pat Harbison Quartet, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The Arc Band, which is a little reggae music that you have to have that during the summer.
Sure.
I think that's
absolutely
a staple. And then the big headliner, of course, is Here Come the Mummies, which is a popular group with everybody. We
absolutely.
Get a big draw for them.
And it is a show. Ron and I were talking about this early on, that the walkout and everything, they are awesome to see.
They are a crowd favorite, and so many of our attendants, you know, people give us input all year long. Are the Mummies going to play? Why don't you get the Mummies? Can you get them back again? And so here we go, and as a lot of people know, if you went to watch those, you know, that show anywhere, Indy or Louisville or Nashville, mm-hmm. where they're from, you know, that's a $15, $20 show. And so we charge $8 to get into the Taste of Bloomington, and you can watch 15 acts, you know, plus a lot of other activities.
Sure. And this, we mentioned earlier, it's a kid-friendly event. Kids are able to stay, if mom and dad want to, all the way to 11 o'clock at night when mm-hmm. Taste of Bloomington shuts down. So.
And children under 12 are free. So that's important that, you know, we do want to make it family friendly and have priced it that way.
Wonderful. Okay. So, again, advance tickets, Buskirk Chumley Theater. Tickets are $8 regular, but you can get them for $7 at the Buskirk Chumley. When is the cutoff for buying the advance tickets?
Good question. 1 o'clock on Saturday, the day of a taste.
Okay. So you can buy the morning of, even. And you can you buy those online on their website as well?
Yes. bctboxoffice.com.
Okay. And then get to taste a blink. What about parking? Because there's, you know, they shut down a lot of the streets and things like that. Any just first come, first serve, or any thoughts on parking at all?
Well, the nearest parking garages are at Morton Street and 7th, and then also at the Scotty's parking garage at 7th and Walnut. The 4th and Walnut garage, which fills up pretty quickly. Parking's available at the convention center that day as well. I think, you know, the farther away you park, the less expensive it gets.
Sure.
There is parking meters that will be on that day. From 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., so it's $1 per hour, but you can use your debit card, and you can put all of your hours on that debit card, so that's a good recommendation.
Just plus, there's the smartphone app now also that you can add money that way and do all of that. And then
we should probably talk about bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
And the ability to ride your bike there. There's ride your bicycle.
ride your bicycle and find a place to hook it up.
The years all blur together, right? 33 of them.
It's okay.
But the Beeline's very popular, and you know, people will be.
Well, and that's the benefit if you wanted to park at the convention center and then just get on the Beeline and walk the 3-4 blocks on down. No worries there at all.
You know, there will be some bike rack that is at 7th and Madison that people, you know, you're kind of on your own. You can lock your bike on that bike rack.
Okay.
But with a Beeline trail,
be manned. Yeah.
It's never been easier to get downtown.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not a problem. Anything else new this year we need to talk about, share with anyone? We've talked about the debit card or the debit cards at the gate to get in and getting beer tickets and things, advance tickets.
Yeah,
what else?
We've had some wonderful community support from sponsors. CFC Properties is a title sponsor this year. First time we've ever had one of those. Old National Bank, German American Bank, Kiwanis have all been real big supporters, as well as Franklin College. So we've got a real variety of different sponsors, which we've had a lot of in-kind sponsors, but we haven't necessarily had cash sponsors for our products. So, you know, if anybody's interested, it's a great way to get in front of 12,000 people, and it's a good community, solid event.
For somebody who's never been to Taste also, this is not a take food home experience, is it? They don't offer so much of, you're not going to buy a meal and take that home the night of, like you would go get carry out at a restaurant, so to speak.
Well, some people do.
Do
it's
they really?
Funny, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you can only eat so much.
Right.
In a short amount of time. So I've often seen people like have little baggies that they particularly bring just so that they can get different items and take it home.
Okay. So again, June 20th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, tasteofbloomington.com. Before I forget also, Talisha, any updates on 4th of July parade coming up just a couple weeks after?
It'll be July 4th, which is a Saturday this year, so that's nice. 9 a.m., the Bloomington Community Band plays patriotic tunes on the courthouse lawn. People start arriving early to get their lawn chairs set, and then the reviewing stand is on the south side of the courthouse lawn, which you and Keith are our announcers, and we'll have a panel of judges from local businesses who help, you know, present awards to all the over 100 entries. The parade's about 1 hour and 15 minutes long. It starts at 10 a.m.
Have you maxed out on the entries yet? Because I know it usually people it's get close. On this. I mean, it does
close.
Fill up.
And I can't say enough about Bloomington Parks and Rec being involved with helping coordinate the entries. And the American Legion Burton Woolery Post 18 has been the strongest sponsor of the 4th of July parade for, you know, probably 30 years when we weren't going to have a parade. And they came forward with the Vietnam vets and said, you know, we will participate with this. That's how I got involved with it a long time ago, that there was a whole big hoopla of, we're not going to have a parade. And so,
how can you not have a parade on the 4th of July?
I know.
Mean, how can you not?
It's a tremendous parade, and I've been
in
it a few times.
It is fun.
You see, you know,
it's
half the town's
small
in
town.
It.
Right.
Yes. And half the town's watching it,
yes.
Right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so it's lots of fun. You know, music entries are always valued, and mm-hmm. so if there are bands out there, you know, musical bands of any kind, string bands, you know.
I'm hoping our steel drum guy is back this year.
Yes, I know, it's fun.
Hoping he comes back. Yeah. I always call out to the crowd, what do we need? And they always respond, we need more cowbell. And that guy gets the biggest grin on his face, and that drumstick just starts beating that cowbell. Like, man, I feel the love today. It's awesome. Okay. Well, again, we'll put all this up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLradio.com. Guys, thanks so much, and best of luck, and nice, cool, dry day on the 20th.
Thank you.
That's
right,
what we want.
That's right, Jim.
Come hungry and come have a good time. Uh-huh. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Sports. Sports. Just a few minutes left here in the show this week. And, you know, normally Mr. Piller covers all this other stuff, but I will do my best to step in and give you all the sports action that you need. Of course, WGCL is your home to the Cincinnati Reds coverage. And 12th, which is today, the Reds played before this game at 4:05. Then on the 13th, Saturday, they played 7:15 p.m. There's a game on Sunday, and the last check, I didn't have a time for that one, but you can go to WGCLradio.com, click on the sports link and the Reds coverage, and we should have that time there. Then, immediately moving on, this game after game after game every night. Then on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, Reds are playing at Detroit, 7 o'clock for those games, right after local programming here on the station. Then the 18th, 19th, and 20th, Detroit comes to Cincinnati. 7:10 for the games on the 18th and 19th, and then on the 20th, 4:10 for that first pitch there. On the local side of things, as I reach around and grab some stuff, speaking of baseball, IU baseball, the Cubs like the Hoosiers. This is awesome news. That much was apparent after the early rounds of Wednesday's portion of the MLB Major League Baseball draft. In back-to-back rounds, the Cubs selected two IU pitchers, sophomore Jake Kelzer and junior Scott Efros. That comes 1 year after the Cubs drafted former IU catcher Kyle Schwarber with the fourth overall pick in the draft. Now, Kelzer and Efros were drafted in the 14th and 15th rounds, respectively. In last season's draft, Kelzer was drafted in the 22nd round by the New York Yankees, but elected to return to Bloomington. He has the same option once again, as does Efros. Now, if they return next season, both would be part of a major pitching staff at 2016 at IU, whether in the bullpen or on the starting rotation. Another pitcher to potentially leave for the pros is junior Christian Morris, who was drafted by the New York Yankees in the 33rd round of the draft. Now, in the 21st draft, there were some other folks as well. The 21st round of the draft, senior closer Ryan Halsted was drafted by the San Francisco Giants. He's already been drafted twice before, once in high school, once his junior year. Another Hoosier senior drafted was catcher Brad Hattong, who heard his name called in the 29th round of the Minnesota Twins, or by the Minnesota Twins. And then senior pitcher Luke Harrison, drafted in the 35th round by the St. Louis Cardinals, the sixth Hoosier drafted and the fifth pitcher. Wednesday was the first time Harrison has been drafted. Congratulations to all those guys, and man, opportunity to play pro ball. That's just awesome. Basketball scene at IU. Former IU forward Hannah Mascara Perea is expected to transfer to East Tennessee State, according to ESPN. Mascara Perea and the former IU forward Devin Davis were dismissed from the team May 14th, following Davis's citation for possession of marijuana. The 6'9 native of Columbia was also arrested for operating while intoxicated charges back in February 2014. At East Tennessee State, he'll reunite with former IU center Peter Jerkin, who transferred after the 2013-2014 season. And Mascara Perea is expected to redshirt next season, then use his final season of eligibility in 2016 and 17. For the Lady Hoosiers basketball, it was announced Tuesday this week that IU will begin its preseason WNIT in November. The field of 16 includes 10 teams that participated in the postseason last year. Tournament begins November 13th, championship game on November 22nd. IU head coach Terry Morin said in a statement, "We're excited to get a chance to play in a challenging field for this year's preseason WNIT to begin our season. It's another great opportunity early in the year to help us prepare for Big Ten play. It's the third time IU's participated in the preseason WNIT and the first time since 2008, and all the teams are guaranteed 3 games in the tournament, and those games are hosted at campus facilities, including the semifinals and championship. Tom Crean has expanded his coaching staff, officially hiring Lionel Anderson as head strength and conditioning coach. Anderson returns to IU after working with the Hoosiers football program as an assistant strength and conditioning coach from 2012 to 2013, and most recently worked with the University of Houston football program. According to a release from Indiana, returning players began trickling back on June 8th. Newcomers are going to arrive over the next week and a half, and Crean has valued his strength coaches since arriving, beginning with Jeff Watkinson, who's now with the Utah Jazz, and Mr. Jackson, whose name is escaping me here, Janae Jackson, who is now with Kansas football. Of course, Crean still needs to fill the assistant coaching position left open by Steve McClain's departure. He headed over to Illinois-Chicago. And Crean said last week that his national search has slowed somewhat by the last month dismissals of the two players that we just mentioned. And then quickly, before we have to wrap up, Peyton Manning has been known to call that magical word Omaha about 763 times. Back in 2014, he said, "I know a lot of people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play. Could be a pass play. Could be a play action pass, depending on what we're talking about. So it varies play to play. That's your answer to what to that question." But his brother, you always knock the brothers, Eli Manning, the mystery has been solved, according to Eli, the Giants quarterback and Peyton's younger brother, said that Omaha was in the playbook, and there's actually a sheet that said Omaha at the top. Apparently, Omaha was maybe we changed the play, maybe when I was changing protection, or David Deal had to tie his shoe or something, and everybody was talking and taking time, and the clock's running down. And Omaha just told everybody to put their hand on the ground, shut up, the ball's about to be snapped. That's all it is. Nothing too fancy with that. We're going to take a break. Don't forget NBA playoffs. That's all going on as well, but we're running out of time. We're going to take a break. Be back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Two minutes left in the show. Two. Jim Inman here, wrapping it up on the Bloomington Review. If you're catching us Friday night, of course, we've got, well, I don't know what we've got coming up right afterwards, but if you're catching us Saturday morning, Your Money with David Hayes. I know he's got Wayne Thacker on from Comprehensive Financial talking about Social Security, and then also our friend Doug Hughes calling in from Greece to talk with David as well. So stay with us Saturday morning for that. I started to say we've got Reds baseball, but schedule's not that tonight. They played before the game, or before the show. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. If you miss any part of the show, we've got all that stuff loaded up. Also over at WGCLradio.com. Make sure that you check that out. Thanks again to Ron Stanhouse and Talisha Kopic for coming in and joining us this week, talking about Taste of Bloomington, Saturday, June 20th, 3 o'clock for that. If you go to the Buskirk Chumley Theater, or if you go to their website, you can order your tickets online. You can get them in advance, and it's a dollar savings up through the day of the event. So make sure that you check that out. Good music, good fun, everything like that. Forecast for the weekend, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday night, mostly cloudy, low around 71. Saturday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high of 84. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain, low around 70. Sunday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Rain early on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as well. It's going to be wet. It's going to be damp. Get your umbrella. Get your raincoat. Water the yard, all of that good stuff, but don't wash your car this weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you next week. And 2 weeks from now, Cullen McCarty from Smithville Communications is going to be on the show. Hopefully, we'll have Mr. Piller back as well. I know he's chomping at the bit. Everybody stay safe. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.